Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast.
Hi, everybody. So today, this is going to be a fun ride. We have had some really amazing coaching calls over the last week, and this has come up twice just today that may or may not get me in trouble with some people, but that's okay. I'll be fine. But we're going to do a QTP episode today about writing a book a month or writing fast. And I want to talk about the pros and cons of that and when to question the premise and when not to and things like that. And today we're going to specifically be talking about question the premise, or as we say, QTP around here. Question the premise means, are you accepting a premise that doesn't apply to you? Are you accepting something because it's coming to you from a source of authority and you're not questioning whether or not it is possible for you to do, or necessary for you to do, or good for you to do, right? So I want to talk about a particular QTP premise today. Writing many books a year, or let's say writing more books than you're capable of writing. Okay, capable of writing, what does that mean, right? So if you've been watching this QuitCast for any length of time, and if you haven't, go check out the link in the show notes to the Intellection podcast or the Input podcast or the Learner podcast, right? But if you've been watching this for any length of time, you know that our personality is a major impactor. It is a huge factor in whether or not we can be successful at certain types of strategies, because whether or not you are able to write multiple books a year has to do with your writing process. It has to do with how your brain literally creates story. Newsflash, not everybody creates story in the same way inside their head. And we know that intuitively, but for some reason, we don't give ourselves permission to be wired the way that we're wired, right? So today I want to talk specifically about questioning the premise of trying to write books faster than you are capable of writing. Why it is important sometimes to say no to the pressure to write books faster than you can write. Number one on Becca's list, of course, is personality. So if you have some strengths like intellection, like ideation, like individualization, like learner, and some of those we've done podcasts on already, so you can check out the links to those. But some of those strengths require more time in order to cook ideas and in order to make ideas happen. And sometimes even when you have other competing strengths like activator, achiever, focus, competition, sometimes you're still not able to move any faster than you can move. Now, what does that mean? It means that the way that your brain conceives of story happens in very specific ways for very specific reasons. And a lot of them have to do with how your brain is wired to process information and how it is wired for creativity. One of my biggest pet peeves in maybe the entire world is the phrase, a cellist doesn't get cellist block, and a plumber doesn't get plumber's block. And people toss that phrase around to say that writers shouldn't have writer's block, like we should never get stuck. Just because some people don't get stuck in their books and other people do, and they think that it's laziness, right? Question the premise. Why don't cellists get cellist block? Notice how they didn't say composers don't get composer's block, because they do. Composers get composer's block. Artists sometimes get artist block, right? It is a different form of energy when you are performing someone else's work or when you are performing more rote tasks than when you're creating something out of nothing. The way that you go about conceiving and forming creativity is different than someone who is not doing that in order to make their, in order to execute the work that they're getting paid for. You can't compare yourself as a creative worker of any kind. I don't care what kind of creative worker you are. You can't compare your ability to create out of thin air with someone who doesn't have to do that. And we talk about this a little bit in the Burnout podcast. So if you haven't seen those yet, please go do check those out, about the ways that energy quality is different when you are creating something. So the metaphor that we use, right, of pennies that it takes to use energy, and the different kinds have different costs. So creative energy has the highest cost. It costs the most pennies to produce that kind of energy. So when you are taking more energy, first of all, to create, when you're using more energy to create, the first thing is sometimes it takes more energy than you have to do the creating for various kinds of reasons, right? And we talk about that in the Burnout. If you have more questions, go there. But that's the first reason, is that sometimes your personality is more important of a deciding factor in what your process is going to look like than you want to admit. So sometimes how your brain makes energy is literally the most important thing you can be factoring in. Not everybody is going to be the kind of person who doesn't have to think in order to create books. And when you do, there are benefits to that, which we'll talk about, and there are drawbacks. The drawbacks is it might take more time, but the benefits are that sometimes you have deeper, better, more fulfilling, more interesting, more compelling stories if you're able to take the time to think about them. And certainly if you're wired to think about them, you will get better than you would have been if you hadn't been thinking. So sometimes your best product is on the other side of what we call writer's block. And people who don't like that word, writer's block, you know, I really don't care if you don't like that word. It happens. And it happens to some of the best writers that I know. And it doesn't mean that they're too emotional or that they're whiny or that they don't want it enough or that they're not achieving. That is not at all what writer's block is about. Sometimes writer's block is as simple as being overwhelmed. And we'll cover this more. We're going to do more discussion on writer's block in the future. But I always like to talk about that when we talk about why some people can't write faster, is because sometimes the amount of energy that your personality needs in order to create what you're going to create is higher than it is for other people. So when you need more energy, then it takes you more time to do that stuff and your process takes more time. And so it's just going to take more time. Sometimes it's just going to take more time. This is the essential pain of life. I'm sorry that it is this way. Those of you who want to write faster and just can't, I apologize for life. Like I'm sorry that is the truth about how we're wired sometimes, is that not everybody gets to have the same experience in life, but that's okay. You can still have both great and selling stories without writing as fast as you can possibly churn them out. And so that's the first piece, right, is personality. The second piece is environment. Not everybody's environment is set up for them to have the kind of time that you need to be able to produce a lot of words every single day, or even several days a month doing high word counts, right? So not everyone has an environment that supports them being to do that. Not only that, but not everybody is interested in making their environment to be that way. Some people who have a lot of family responsibilities, or they have another job, or they have other things that they volunteer for, they're not interested in taking all those things off the plate in order to make more time for writing. And that is okay. That's okay if that's you. If you want to preference your family in front of your writing, you are not deficient some way. You are a human being. You're allowed to make the choices that you want to make. So when your environment is not supportive of you spending a ton of time writing every day, or even just every month a ton of time writing. So let's say even you are one of those people who can write more quickly, or whose stories come out of them very quickly, you still may not be the kind of person whose environment supports you being able to write. There may be other things also happening in the middle of that environment. You might be in a transition time. You might be stuck in a relationship that you don't want to be in. You might be dealing with end of life issues for someone else. You don't exist in a vacuum. You absolutely have other factors in your life that are just as important as your ability to write fast. When you have an environment that's more malleable and you're able to shape it more into a place that allows you to write more words or write more often, that's awesome if you can do that. We don't take environment into account enough about how it impacts the speed at which we're able to get projects finished. We don't think about things like what direction our desk is facing might be important. Whether or not we can see people when we're working might be important. Whether or not we're in the middle of a huge transition, like moving or getting a new job or losing a job or losing a spouse or parent or child, like that, those kinds of things are not insignificant things to the writing. Sometimes we have to take the hit in the environment and there's nothing we can do about it. And again, one of the reasons I want to talk about this is to help us get the appropriate expectations. That's what the QTP premise is all about. It's not about you can't do what you want to do. It's about if you know you're not going to accomplish this thing, why keep expecting yourself to do it? Butting up against the reality of that expectation constantly is not going to be good for you in the long term. All that does is create extra stress that then you have to soothe, which takes you away from your project and it doesn't breathe energy into the project. If the pressure to write fast makes you want to write fast and it makes you write faster and you get excited about it and you're not stressed, that's a totally different situation from the majority of people that we're talking to here, right? So this is for people who are having a difficulty. So the third piece about whether or not you should be thinking about writing faster than you're writing is how much is it going to bother you to produce a book that isn't as good as you know you can produce, right? There's a lot of advice out there about it's fine, readers don't care, it's going to be okay, this is what the market wants, et cetera, et cetera. So, okay, if you assume that that's actually true, which I'm not convinced that's what they actually want. I think it's what we're giving them and they have no choice but to accept it. What are you going to do in a vacuum, right? Are you going to not read? No, you're not going to not read. So I don't know that that's what they want. I think it's what they're willing to accept. So minimum viable product wise, if you were to put your book that you're trying to finish at a level where you think it would be minimum viable product for the market, are you okay with releasing a book like that? And that's a fairly big deal in aligning yourself with your own expectations and your own goals. If you have a quality standard and a quality expectation that supersedes even your desire to make money, then you need to listen to that because not everyone is driven by how much money they're going to make, and that is okay. And if you are, that's okay too. There's nothing wrong with being driven by money. The point here isn't to say that it's good to be driven by money and bad not to, or vice versa. The point is to say not everyone has the same goals. And unfortunately, not all of us are wired to easily step back from the advice that we're given and question the premise of what is that person's motivation? What is their goals? What are they trying to get out of me? What do they have at stake about whether I listen to them or not? Things like that, right? That is the question, the premise method. And that's what I want us to apply to something like this. And while I know that I'm going to get pushback on this, I'm okay with that because there also needs to be people out there who are pushing write fast, release fast, et cetera, because that's who they are and that's fine. I don't think those people shouldn't exist. I don't think they shouldn't talk. I think they should. The people for whom that message is the message they need to hear, that is awesome because it will help and propel them to exactly fulfilling the goals that they want to fulfill. But if you've been beating your head against these expectations for a long time, this is the reason that some of us are burning out right now. We are trying to do too much. We are trying to listen to everyone's expectations and assimilate everything that everybody tells us. And we are not questioning the premise fast enough as to everything, literally everything. I have several more QTP videos that are going to be coming up over the next several weeks. And I'm very excited to talk more about QTP, but I just want to say, why is it so important for us to align our expectations with what we are actually capable of doing? And I want to tell you a little story. When I was a kid, I used to play basketball. And I say kid, like through senior in high school, right? But when I was younger, I used to play basketball. And one of the issues I had in seventh and eighth grade was that I used to get foot pain a lot. And I would compensate for that foot pain by taking time like away from the sport to heal the pain, right? And I compensated my gait and I walked differently. And I went to see a doctor about it once, and she asked me several questions about the way that the foot pain was presenting, because they wanted to put me in a boot, right? Like to heal these stress fractures that she thought that I had, but they never showed up on x-rays. And so she asked me a couple of questions and she said, well, are you doing this when you compensate? What does it look like when you run, etc.? And I answered her questions and she said, well, I don't think you need a boot at all. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an insole for your basketball shoes, and then we're going to try to send you back out and play for a while and see how that goes. And I was skeptical, right? Because I had friends who'd had stress fractures and they all had to take a whole season off, but I reluctantly did it because it was pretty painful. I reluctantly did it, and no kidding, I put the insoles in and did one practice and my feet stopped hurting. So I had been compensating with the way that I ran. I had been running on a different part of my feet because this one particular part of my foot hurt. And when she leveled my foot out and I was able to start running normally with a normal gait, I stopped compensating and I got faster and I got better and my feet stopped hurting. But part of the point of this is that what makes us compensate in a, let's say, a personality way or in a professional behavior way, what makes us compensate is that pain. We stop walking or acting like we would have because we keep experiencing essential pain. And sometimes the essential pain that we experience is literally because we're just walking on the wrong part of our foot. It's not because we have a broken bone. It's not because there's something wrong with us. It's not because we're deficient. It's because we're not using the right support for ourselves. We're not aligned. We're not aligning ourselves well enough with our own way of, with our own system in order for us to be successful. And what we want here is to stop assuming that you need a corrective boot, to stop assuming that you have a broken bone, to stop assuming that there's something broken or deficient or wrong with you because you can't do what it appears everyone else can do. Everyone else can't do it. It's not normal. It's not abnormal to be the way that you are. And we all need to understand that there's nothing unintentional about how different we are. We all serve a purpose in this larger industry, in meeting reader expectations, in putting out certain types of books. We all serve a very different purpose. And if we don't function correctly in the way that we're meant to function, then the industry doesn't work the way that it should. And the ripples from that lack of alignment are massive, and they have huge impacts, and they make everyone feel unsafe. And we need to find our lane and be able to stand in it with absolute straight back, shoulders back, head up, chin up, and be able to be who we are proudly and not worry about compensating our gait for somebody else just to make them comfortable with who we are. And it's so important to me that we all get this message as writers, that we figure out who we are and how we're wired, and we live in that absolute truth so that the industry can be whole and healthy and healed again, right? So that we can all stop feeling so freaked out and so not okay and so stressed, and we can stop burning out and everything can be much more normal and copacetic in this industry. And that's my hope. My hope is that by doing this series of QTP episodes where we're starting to really question the premise of some of these larger mythology things that exist in our writing universe, that we will all be able to put the insoles in and get on our flat feet again and be able to run at a pace that we never thought we could run at before. And of course, you know me, StrengthsFinder person, such a huge part of that for me is knowing how you are wired for success and understanding your strengths. So today, I hope that this was helpful. So I'm looking forward to the next QuickCast, and I hope to see you guys all back here, and I will see you on the next QuickCast. Bye.